Hi, I'm CJ Liu, live from One the Gathering, and I am traditionally a host on the Fired Up with CJ on the Transformation Talk Radio, and my show plays on Thursdays from 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time and 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and I'm filling in for this glorious event. I'm so excited, and I have Rogany Michaels. Welcome, Rogany.
Thank you, CJ. It's good to be here.
Yeah, it's awesome. So Rogany Michaels is an internationally recognized speaker in behavioral change and author of a book coming out this May, and I love the title.
Do you?
Unflappable. 6 Steps to Staying Peaceful and Happy No Matter What. So this segment is all about, it's centered around the purpose of this event, and it's really shifting from fear to love. And so we're going to take a two-part look at shifting from fear to love. So, Rogany, I wanted to share with everyone, we spent how many hours talking about this during lunch? Now, was it the gigantic salad that we had? We had a salad that was like a trough of salad because we ordered incorrectly. So we're eating this trough of salad, talking about this event, planning for this event. It felt like 2 hours. Was it about 2 hours?
It was at least 2, if not 3 hours.
Yeah. And here's the curious thing about this topic. It's very hard. This is a hard topic. Making the shift from fear to love is a really hard topic. Because what I notice is you can talk about it intellectually, and I understand intellectually I want to do it. I would like to do it. It's good to do it. You know, it's like eating vegetables. I will try to do it. But it's hard to do, right?
It's very hard to do, actually.
Yeah.
To live it is hard to do.
Yeah, and then, interestingly enough, we had a conversation where I was like, you know, I'm always about specificity, and I was saying, Rogan, we have to come up with some examples about 9/11, and like how to figure out a way to incorporate that into the show, and it was really hard. It was hard to talk about 9/11, and it was because it was one of those things where it was so hard to figure out the truth and where you stood on it. I don't know, you had a really good way of example, reason of why it was so hard.
Well, I want to reference Miguel Ruiz, who is a Toltec shaman, or a shaman in the Toltec tradition, who was saying that the one way to heal the planet, this was in one of his books, and I'm sorry, I don't remember which one, it might be The Mastery of Love. He was talking about the way to heal the planet is to look at 3 things. Mm-hmm. 1 is know the truth. 2, extend forgiveness to others and yourself. And 3, indulge in self-love.
Mm.
So in my opinion, the hardest thing about that when we get together as human beings is to agree upon what is the truth.
Mm-hmm.
If you can agree upon what is the truth, then it becomes easier to move into forgiveness and self-love.
Right.
So I think that's the sticky part of actually moving from fear to love.
Right.
Is somewhere in there, somebody's going to come up with, well, this is the truth. No, this is the truth. No, I'm right. No, you're wrong.
Right.
And a lot of what I think happened for a lot of us in 9/11 is we got polarized to some position, basically on fear, out of fear. And then we start clinging to that position, and if you want to move to love, it requires a change in the way you relate to your position without giving it up.
Right. Right, and I think the thing, if you follow that model, and that there are really 3 things to heal the planet, the truth is the thing that's the hardest thing, right?
It's the hardest thing.
Agreeing what the truth is about 9/11 is the hardest thing.
Truth is a very tricky thing. People use the word a lot and bandy it around a lot, but there's lots of different kinds of truth.
Right.
There's scientific truth, there's psychological truth, there's emotional truth, there's physical truth, and there is, I'm going to assume, a spiritual truth of some kind.
Right.
Right? But you have to decide on what the truth is that you're talking about and where it is that you're stuck. What truth are you really holding on to in order to make this movement from fear to love?
Right.
It's a funny thing because you really have to be committed to your truth, whatever it is you find out it is. At the same time, you have to not be attached to it.
Right, and that's why we had a hard time coming up with the 9/11 example because, you know, I was like, well, this is my truth, and, you know, probably there are thousands of other truths out there in terms of what people think happened and who's right and who's wrong and what the truth is. And really, from talking to you, the truth is everyone's right and everyone's wrong. Right?
It's interesting because if you look at it from a nature perspective, you know, the universe is incredibly filled with diversity. If you look at how many different birds there are, how many different insects, how many different kinds of fish. And just because we have minds, like we're the only ones that have this kind of I don't know what you want to call this incredible mind we have that's such a gift and such a pain mm-hmm. in the same way. But we have this capacity, and why would there not be an incredible diversity of perceptions here?
Right.
If that's the case, then part of our job in embracing truth so we can make this movement out of fear to love is being able to understand the diversity of truth that exists in our lives as human beings and find the way that is the right way for each of us to be able to become big enough to embrace all of those truths as both right and wrong, or maybe neither,
mm-hmm.
but simply an expression of the diversity of the unity of life.
Mm-hmm. And here's the funny thing. When we were going through trying to figure out an example to talk about that people wouldn't get triggered on because they had their truth on it, mm-hmm. I was struggling, and I was saying, well, Ragini, how about if you use this example, or use this example, or how about that example? And they all kind of fell flat. Now, I don't know whether it was we're tired.
No, I think they fell flat because they were all traumatic things that you were speaking of.
Yeah.
You know, like actually the most traumatic event that could occur.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, if you want to move from fear to love, you have to, really from a psychological perspective, you have to remove the trauma around the fear before you can actually deal with the fear and leave it behind.
Right.
So if you've got trauma around it, personal trauma, best thing to do first is to get somebody to help you remove the trauma so you can be directly connected with fear.
Right.
Then you have all these wonderful new tools from energy psychology and hypnotherapy and spirituality and all these different arenas to help you actually embrace the fear, learn what you need, and move to the next step of would be forgiveness.
Right.
Actually. So you would find your truth. You can't really find your truth unless you remove the trauma.
Yeah. We were talking about how it was so difficult.
Yeah.
And last night at 2:30 in the morning, I did this moving from fear to love. And so I wanted to share this.
Yes,
I wanted to share the example because thank God the universe brought this to my attention. Because, you know, it's one of those things I was really having a hard time grappling with this idea. And so I had a really good experiential sense of really what it meant. And what happened is I've been doing all this energy body work, which has been delicious and wonderful. And as part of that energy work, they did something to switch my female and male signs. So my moon and sun were crossed. And when they switched those signs, my whole energy in my body shifted.
Mm-hmm.
Where my husband was giving me a hug and he said, I feel like I'm with a different woman. I mean,
a little scary.
It is.
Husband.
Or good. Depending on what you're after.
You're right there. How long have you been married? Maybe it was good.
Yeah, exactly. 15 years. Hey, cheating on my wife, but I'm not cheating on my wife. How cool is this? So my husband was saying, you know what? It's kind of weird for me because I don't know, and I'm actually going to do more work this weekend. And I have, which is actually the work that I did where I shift these moon and sun things was actually preliminary work for a big piece of work I'm going to do this weekend. And he said, you know, I'm scared because I'm not sure what kind of person you're going to become when you come back.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, oh, that's nice. I'm feeling on the inside like, oh, great.
I'm supportive, huh?
Exactly. I'm doing this work so that, you know, I can feel more love in my heart. You know, it's like one of those beautiful things that you do because you want to reach your inner essence and get to the purity of who you are on deep inside, the really mm-hmm. deep inside. So he said, yeah, I'm, you know, already I don't know what's happening and it feels weird to me. And he said, I don't know what's going to happen when you get back. So, and you know what? He said that to me, and for 2 days straight, I've been kind of pissy. Did you pick up the kids? Did you get the cream? Why didn't you get the cream? You know, he's been back to me like, I got the cream. You don't appreciate when I get the cream. You know, so we've had 2 days of this insane back and forth, right? And what is it? It's basically fear that came out in anger. That's what I've, now in my, you know, retrospective look, it was really anger. That I just didn't, anger that this could happen, the fear of the unknown, what would happen. So I had anger. And last night I'm like, oh, you just don't understand. You know, I had one of those evenings. And I said, you know what? I really don't want to talk about this because I'm tired. I've had a long day. The kids have been back at school. I'm just going to sleep. And I never do that. Usually I like drag him. I'm like, we're going to talk about this and we're going to talk about this until we solve this thing. You know, we sit down and torture my poor husband. He's so great. So I said, no, I'm like, I can't do this tonight. I can't. So good night. And then it's like, and you know, do you know how bad it is to sleep in that thing? You're like, good night.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. You're curled up in a ball, you roll over. This just sucks. And then because I'm doing all this energy work, at 2:30 in the morning, I'm feeling toxins emanate from my skin. Itchiness. It's awful. So I'm like, itching, itching. I wake myself up. And then I'm like, I'm sad. And then... And then I'm like, I don't even know why I'm sad. And I'm sitting in the bed, and then all of a sudden, you know, like I'm trying to shove it down, and then I'm like, just kind of ugly, disgusting cry that's like, it's awful. So it's a, and you're kind of half thinking, I hope this wakes up my husband so he knows how badly he has pained me. It's like, he's like, what's wrong? I was like, I'm sad. And he said, what's going on? I said, I'm doing all this work to be a better person, and you're telling me that you may not like the person I've become, and my whole goal is to become the best, this true essence, and you're saying, you may not like it. This truly sucks. You know what I mean? This is awful.
Pat you on the back. Poor baby.
Yeah. So it moved from anger, then it moved to incredible, trembly, ugly cry.
Yeah.
And then it moved to the fear of the future. And then it moved to him truly feeling in his heart that, I mean, this was not me just being pissy. This is like a deep, scary fear of the future. And then it opened up his heart, and he said, I truly am sorry. I had no idea that this is what you're going through. Because I didn't say anything to him. He's been telling me all this stuff, and I'm like, stuff it down, stuff it down. This is what Asians do, stuff it down. So I stuffed it down. And then finally, it's just a blubbering mess. But you know what? He apologized. And when he apologized, which I think is what you're talking about, forgiveness, mm-hmm. I could finally, and you know what? I've been doing so much energy work, I could feel my energy shift. He forgave. He said, I'm sorry. And everything shifted. And when that shift happened, what happened was my heart opened. Mm-hmm. To him. And I said, well, and then he's like, but here's where I'm coming from. And did he tell me where he's coming from before? Yes. Could I have repeated it exactly? Yes. What's happened is you're worried about this. You know, like I can repeat it almost verbatim because I'm actually good at repeating things verbatim.
But you didn't actually hear him.
I didn't hear him.
Yeah.
And I didn't feel him in my heart. Yeah. And that was a key ingredient. And when I opened and I could really feel what he was feeling on his heart, then I started feeling incredibly. I could feel the pain and the sadness. Morgan, it was hurting my heart. I literally was feeling pain in my heart. And then I asked for forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
And then we talked more about the truth, what you describe as the truth.
Yeah.
And then we got to love. Like, he's like, I really, you know, I want to tell you. I start crying. He said, I really do love you. I want to know that I love you. And I know that no matter what happens, I have faith of the person that you're going to become. No, I'm not going to cry. I can have faith in the person that you're going to become. And I have faith in the process. And I have faith in the universe. And I truly love you. And I know that the right thing is going to happen.
There you go.
So there we went, from fear to love. And here was my personal discovery about this, and I wanted to ask you about this. I know this is a really long story, but my personal discovery about this, of moving from fear to love, is that, at least in my personal example, I went through a bevy of negative emotions that I did not want to feel, and when I did feel them, it hurt like heck. No, I literally felt physically painful. Like, I thought I was going to be, I couldn't breathe. I mean, it felt physically painful. And then I moved to, you know, then we moved to forgiveness and we moved to love. But do you think, Ragini, that when you move through this, when you truly open your heart, is there pain? I mean, is there pain that people feel normally? Is this, am I normal? That's what I'm trying to ask you.
You're exceptionally normal and exceptionally not normal. Because you were willing to feel your pain.
Right.
That's why it's so hard. That's why this is a very complicated thing.
You know,
because you have to feel what you feel. This is like the first challenge in moving from fear to love is actually mm-hmm. feeling your feelings.
Yeah.
You know, and people, anyone who's wanting to make this change from shift to love should be bowed down to and said, you are fantastic
yeah.
for being willing to actually feel what you feel, because it hurts the heart.
It did.
The heart
it hurt.
Your heart gets contracted and it hurts because these negative emotions are there, but they must be embraced if your outcome that you're going for is to actually find love.
Right, and is that what you meant? You said earlier that there are several different perspectives, three different perspectives, a psychological perspective, an emotional perspective, a spiritual perspective, and making the shift. Mm-hmm. Is that what you meant by the emotional perspective? What did you mean by those things? Let's hit one of them at a time. What do you mean by, which one do you want? You start. Emotional, psychological, spiritual, you start.
Okay. I think if you're going to make the shift, right, and you want to know how to do it, which is what I hear people asking, how do I get from fear to love?
Right.
There's three basic components that it's helpful mm-hmm. to look at if you're a person who likes to know what you're doing before you do it. You know, a lot of people don't need this, but the people who want to know what's going to happen before I do it, then it's helpful to get a little insight here. So here's a little structure, right? There's three levels to look at. One is your emotional self, and the challenge that we meet there is actually feeling our emotions. That's what we were just talking about.
Mm-hmm.
That's the challenge. Am I willing to take the risk to actually feel this, feel the pain in my heart? Because in reality, can I go back for just a second? When you talk about getting to love, it's important that you kind of ask yourself, what do you mean by that?
Right. What do you mean by love?
What do you mean by love?
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of us think that love is going to look like all beautiful, all happy, all good, all sweet, all kind, all compassion, all harmony.
Mm-hmm.
And no matter what comes up in your life, you're going to respond with love and compassion and sympathetic joy and a harmonious embracing of that person.
Right.
But what we don't usually understand about love is that in order to get to that, the first thing you have to be able to do and the last thing you have to be able to do is embrace all of the negative things that go with that in order to get to the actual spiritual experience of love, which is not the same as love that's the opposite of hate.
So what do you mean by all the negative things, or those things that you're referring to, the emotions?
That you were talking about.
The emotions.
Yeah, anger.
Ugly crying.
Yep, jealousy, envy, all the things, all the different manifestations of fear.
Right.
You know, irritation, annoyance, all the things that we feel, judgments, all the judgments that we all carry. Many people think love means I'm never going to have a judgment again.
Mm-hmm.
That is not my experience of spiritual love.
Right.
It's the way you relate to your judgment. It comes up, it goes by you, you stay where you are, right, centered in the moment.
Right.
You know, so how do you get there? I mean, a lot of people understand this, right? This is not what I'm saying isn't anything new. The question is, how do you actually get that? How do you actually live it? So first step is you have to be courageous. You have to be willing, you know. And if you need, when I started doing this, I used to get my mala from my guru. I used to put books, all my little books around me. You know, I had Hafiz the poet and Rumi and all these other things. And then I'd have my little stack of crystal things, you know,
everything that
I had. And I'd hold the mala in my hand and I'd get the picture of my guru and I go, all right, I'm going to face this emotion. And I would go, you better not desert me now, guy. You know, so you need to be willing to gather around you every resource that you have that makes you find in you your natural reservoir of courage that is absolutely there in every human being.
Mm-hmm.
It's there. But if you never put yourself in a situation where you're going to get to find it, then you may go through life thinking that the truth is you don't have any courage.
Mm.
And when you operate out of the truth that you don't have any courage, if that's your truth, then you're going to become you're going to be very scared.
Right.
And you're not going to be able to get to where you want to go very easily if love is your outcome.
Right.
Or letting your next door neighbor have their dog, or whatever it is that is happening around you that it would be useful for you or your community to allow to have happen.
Mm-hmm. So here's what the recap. You're saying to get to all the juicy stuff that we want, compassion, understanding, acceptance, forgiveness, we have to enter the gate that precedes that.
Yes.
And the gate that precedes that is the gate of pain.
No.
What is that gate?
Not the gate of pain. It's the gate of opposites. It's the gate of opposites. It's the gate of realizing that human beings are both, we all know this, we have a light side and a dark side.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately our unconscious process is geared to make us move so we grab the good side and avoid the bad side.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody wants to go towards pleasure and hang on to it and move away from pain and avoid it. This is fundamental, and I will tell you that all advertising and marketing knows this about human beings and use it.
Right.
So as individuals, we need to understand this plays a role as well in our spiritual development and in our awakening of our consciousness.
Right.
And the re-education of the unconscious mind. Because if you really want to get conscious and stay in the world, you've also got to get, you know, honor that your unconscious mind is this powerful mountain of possibility, and it's all going in to whatever it is you believe is your truth that you might never have examined.
Right. So the gateway that you have to walk through is the gateway that you refer to as paradox or duality and being able to embrace both.
That's right.
Okay, cool. Let's talk about, let's go back to the psychological and spiritual and emotional perspectives.
Well, the psychological, and we kind of touched on already,
yeah,
which is really getting to understand that everybody's viewpoint is valid. Mm-hmm. It's valid because it's coming from a particular place where the person is viewing something,
mm-hmm,
through a particular set of filters and a particular set of values.
Right.
So it's valid. Nobody's viewpoint is accurate.
Yeah.
And I think that's hard to get.
Yeah. You know?
And it's also very freeing when you understand everybody's perspective is valid, but nobody's perspective is accurate.
Yeah, and that's actually, I love that you have a phrase that I think is from NLP. That's, what is it? It's that's true, but what's this phrase? It's something like, that's true, but not complete.
Yes, it's incomplete.
Right.
It's valid, but incomplete.
Valid and complete.
All
so someone,
right, valid and incomplete.
Right. So when you hear perspective, including your own, and I did this, I'd say it's valid, but it's incomplete. And
yeah,
I think that's a key
I
one.
I will tell you that I have 100% commitment that my work is not only the truth, but it will actually save the planet, right?
Yeah.
However, I'm also very aware that as valid as that is, and as 100% convinced as I am that it's true, I also know that it's more than likely not.
Yeah.
But I'm going to live my life as if it were, but not to the degree where I'm going to lambast people who disagree with,
yeah,
me and say, you know, you're wrong and I'm right, because that's a waste of time,
right,
when you understand that everybody's viewpoint is valid.
Right.
So this is like the key on the psychological level, and if you're looking at something like 9/11, there's an enormous number of different viewpoints here about which is right and which is wrong, what's good, what's bad.
Right.
So when you understand that you're dealing with two sides, with duality, with opposites, and you have a way to deal with that, which is what my work is all about, then you're able to make that shift from fear to love more quickly because you have a way to deal with your psychology more efficiently.
Yeah, so someone, so let's say, what if is, if someone comes to you, they're talking about 9/11, you feel triggered, you could say, you know, instead of being like, you know, challenge them and take them on, you could say, you know, I can see the validity of that, and I don't think it's a complete understanding of what's happening, but it's valid, you know, and if you can actually get there, I think you've made a huge step forward, don't you think?
You're more than halfway home.
Seriously, I mean,
I'm serious. That is the hardest thing in the world to get, that everybody else doesn't think like I do.
Yeah, and you have to, like, literally, I met a guy on the plane, and he said, we were talking, and he's like, I totally disagree with gay marriages. And I have a gay sister-in-law, and I was like, mm-hmm. And I thought, okay, well, I just seen you and you said the valid and incomplete. I'm like, okay, what is valid about? I'm like, so why do you think that? Or tell me a little bit about why. And you know what? That valid and incomplete thing made a huge difference. So I think
it's one of the biggest things that's helped me begin accepting other people for who they are and allowing me to shift my way of relating to them so I can let them be there.
Right.
That puts me like a way step further towards being able to find the love that is beyond opposites.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Where I'm not saying this is right and this is wrong. I may say it in my head, but the question is, if I know it's not the total truth, it's much easier to find a way to navigate life if you know that what you believe is true is not necessarily the truth.
Yep. So I see. So just a quick recap. Valid and incomplete, that's one thing you can just chant to yourself. I think the other thing is know that there is this gateway, and the gateway is towards duality and accepting that these two things are there. And, you know, we actually have a bunch of really good work that we did on emotions, all emotions that Ragini talked about, and actually when they arise, how to actually get to a peaceful place. So check that out on www.fireitupwithcj. If you want to know more about Ragini or hear more of our two-part series on shifting from fear to love, then continue listening to this episode on one event at or listen to Fired Up with CJ.